Our first session together, we took a look at an overview of a mini-based donor system, and then we've been looking in a little more detail at three of the major components. The last of those components we're going to look at now is the management information system. So we're kind of back to basics after having had an excellent presentation of a beautiful system a few minutes ago. Now we're really back to basics. I want to start with some definitions. Now again, since I'm the one talking, I get to make the definitions. If we're going to talk about management information systems, let's talk about three kinds of products that come out. First is a journal. A journal to me is basically a tabulation of records of original entry in approximately the original format and original order that they went in. And the next higher level is a list, where a list is kind of a tabulation of selected and or sorted basic elements out of your system. And then lastly, we have a report. In the report, we have selected, we have sorted, and we've summarized, and put something in a form that management can get an overview of whatever function we're talking about. I do have copies of these flip charts, and at the end of this session, we'll pass out, there are three pages of it. The slides, we do not have copies of. Okay, let's look at think of an idea that calls cycles. As you're thinking about designing a system, you think about certain kinds of cycles that you go through. And there are some cycles that seem to me, in the kind of things that we do, more or less normal cycles. In other words, a daily cycle in a donor system is a very common, a very natural kind of cycle, primarily because almost all of our organizations bank once a day. You know, if you're a very large organization or if you're having a cash flow problem, you might bank twice a day. But typically, we bank on a daily basis. Because of what we're all used to in terms of reports, reporting frequencies, then a monthly cycle also becomes a natural cycle, and also a yearly cycle. There are other cycles that are sometimes of interest to us. A weekly cycle, a quarterly cycle is of interest to people who are involved in usually financial reports. We have some things that just come periodically or as needed. And then we have, unfortunately, some things that are sometimes called computer cycles. We get locked into a cycle because of constraints that the computer provides, either their mode of operation or the economics of running it. But these are the kind of cycles. Now, as you think through what your requirements are, as you think about building a donor system, or really any other kind of system, kind of think through what your cycle is, what your normal cycle is, and if you can design around the normal cycles, so much the better. Okay, in the donor system, there's a daily cycle. In the overview I gave to you, this really doesn't belong in what I call the management information system, but it still is a key part, so I thought I'd review that again here. These are the key things in your daily cycle of the donor system. There's your cash receipts journal. Again, a journal is just a listing in more or less the original form and more or less the original order. And it shows you your cash. Okay, it's not a very big deal. A bank deposit list, again, is something that as long as you're going to need it, as long as you're going to have it, let the computer generate it for you. And of course, these are the key things that are tying back in to a control system external to your computer. Someone is obviously taking the money out of the letters that come in and running some control tapes on it. Okay, so that system is tied in here. Cash receipts recap report, I do not have a slide of that, but this is a report that has a couple of key functions. One, the key function is to allow a correlation between the cash that's flowing through this system and your general ledger system. Okay, now it can be done on a manual basis or it could be done via a computer interface. But this kind of report would take the cash for the day, would summarize it on general ledger account number, would reorder it into general ledger account number, and would certainly give you the cash to day balance. Probably it would also be very convenient to have it give you month to date. In some of the work that we've done, we have an option that allows the administrative percentage to be taken out so that I think we heard this morning that the navigators have a 6 or 7% administrative percent taken out for all gifts that come into U.S. personnel. Okay, so this is an appropriate place for that kind of thing. And then lastly, you have your receipts. The only reason I put receipts there is you want to make sure that those things tie into your daily cycle. These are the key parts then of a daily cycle. Then you have, for the management reports, what is most often a monthly cycle. And we're going to look in a few minutes at what some of those reports might be. But as you think through the way you want to design the system, and even though monthly would tend to be a normal cycle, give consideration to the fact that there are times that you might want to break that monthly cycle and do things differently and see that you have the capability to do so. Let me give a good example. Let's say that you're in a direct mail campaign, and the plan that you have is this, that you have tested three different kits that working with your direct mail consultants you've come up with. You mail to relatively small samples, and you're watching the results from those kits. As soon as you can find out which kit is doing better, you're going to get in a production order, and then you're going to drop to all the rest of your list the one that came out the best. Now, when you're doing this kind of thing, you've usually got some particular time window that you're aiming for to do your drop. So you're very much on a time basis. Now, you can't wait until the end of the month to find out how that direct mail is doing. So you want to be able to take your same kind of monthly function and just have your system designed so that you can come down and monitor the reports on a daily basis. And now you watch those kits on a daily basis. You start forming your opinions. You eliminate one of the kits. Forget about how you produce that, and you start watching the other two. When your decision point comes, you make a decision. You can then quit producing that report if you want to. Then let it come out at the end of the monthly cycle. Okay? That's very helpful to do. Now, all of you have heard some things about some basic codes. Certainly World Vision mentioned that a lot. I think most of the folks who've talked in any way about reports so far have made reference to at least three kinds of codes. These are awfully important. And most of you who've been doing this for any time are certainly aware of these. But for those who are not as aware, let me describe the most basic codes in a donor system. There's a designation code, a motivation code, and a source motivation. Now, they're different names, so again, you'll just have to accept mine for this presentation. A designation code, the first two are associated with money. The last one is associated with new names. Okay, associated with every gift that you have coming to the organization are two kinds of quantities, two kinds of values, where it's going and why it came in. Now, the reason I want to stress this is that an awful lot of the small organizations that I've had the privilege of looking at oftentimes mix those two things. Very often you'll see a chart of accounts in which there are some things in there that relate in one section to things that are going somewhere, which is kind of what a chart of accounts should do. But oftentimes there'll be things that came in from somewhere also. In reality, every gift has both of those properties. Where it goes, which is either what the people in their response to you said, how they designated it, or because of your company policy, how you designated it. It goes somewhere, designation. Of prime interest to the folks in accounting. There's also the other side, where that dollar came from. What were you doing that was right as far as these people were concerned? Why did they decide to send that gift into you? Of prime interest then to the marketing people. Okay. One is just as important as the other. Source motivation is associated with new names. When you get a new name, and you'd like to at some point be able to evaluate the different ways in which you get names, you've got to have some kind of meaningful source motivation. Now, the source motivation and the dollar motivation may be exactly the same thing. Let's say you have a banquet. You've got some new people there, and those people give money. Okay, that banquet in that town at that time is the motivation for the dollar. It's also the source motivation for that name. Okay? Now, there's a lot of reports that can come out of a donor system. If you're a missionary organization, a very basic report is a report that tells, that goes to each missionary that said who gave you how much, when, and if they were pledging, how much did they pledge, so you can see if they came up, and things of this nature. If you are a radio or TV ministry, then a radio or TV report is a key thing. If you are the deferred giving people, then your deferred giving reports are key things. But a lot of organizations don't have all those kinds of things. There's three reports that I think are basic to every kind of Christian organization that does fundraising. So I just want to talk for a few minutes about those three basic reports. In fact, I think we'll move this out of the way. Move the whole thing. Yeah, didn't mean to move it that much. Thank you. The first of these is a designation report. And there can be in a lot of different forms. But this will give you an example of the kind of thing. While we're talking about this, let me just suggest a thing to make your system look professional when you do it. Develop a common kind of header for all your reports, so all your reports look the same way. It's awfully good to have a report number associated with your reports. People sometimes forget the name, but you can always communicate with a report number. Describe the report, like this is monthly designation report for March 77. It's a good thing to tell when the report was produced. In this case, it was actually run the day after the end of the month, which incidentally on a mini-based system is typically the way you do it. You get your reports out the day after the month ends. Now, the kind of things we have here, and I can't show you quite the whole thing. We'll go over here in a second. But you have the code. This is your designation code. The designation code represents where dollars were going. And it's awfully helpful, and it's easy to do with a mini-based system, is to give the words that are associated with the place that it's going. Here we have missionary advance, dental projects, scholarships. This is where the money has been designated. Over here we have information for this particular month. How many dollars did you get? How many gifts did you get? What was the average gift? The way you set up your designation codes, you usually have some kinds of classifications. So at the end of a range, you'll produce some totals and some averages, so that you're then able to look and find that the average gift for the Iran plane, for example, was $15, and the average for everything in this particular kind of designation was $44. You know, why? It's often convenient to have not only the things that happened this month, but some other information to give you some kind of basis of comparison. In this case, we have run amounts last month and amounts year to date. Some basis for comparison. Others might be more meaningful for you. And of course, at the end of this report, this is page one of a multi-page report, there should be some totals and subtotals, again, to allow you to make the comparison. Kind of a simple report, but a basic report. You're taking your income and cutting it one way. Now, since that one does primarily relate to the accounting people, if you have other accounting reports, that may or may not be one that they get real excited about. This one is usually one that the marketing people do get excited about. This is your motivation report. This is the one that's saying, how well did each thing do? Now, it's got about the same kind of stuff across the top. We're talking about things that have come in this month, the total amount, number of gifts, average gifts. And over here we have the total amount last month and the amount received year to date. Very same format as the other. It's a very good idea when you are constructing reports to use as few formats as you can. That makes it a lot easier for people to pick up different reports and immediately know what they're talking about. Now, because we have motivations down the side, because those motivations can be the same for dollars as they are for new names, there's a couple of extra columns in here. For example, here are some individuals who were out fundraising or new name raising, and we can see that Babbitt didn't really raise any dollars this month, but he did add 83 names to your mailing list. Now, they were probably added specifically to his mailing list, but also to the general purpose mailing list. You can also see in the way this report was constructed that those names have not given yet. These are no money names. Okay, again, down the side, you have your codes and then some kind of description. This is interesting. In this case, the description that was given for all these various mailings was just February mailing. I don't like that very much. That's not very descriptive. The person who established those codes probably knows the difference over on this range. I'll tell you what something that this means. L means that this is a letter that went out to the house list. 7 means it went out in 77. 2 means that it went out in February. And then the next codes distinguish between the different things that went out. You could use dash LD to mean this was to large donors or numerical, whatever you want to. Now, this report, again, both of these reports we've looked at are monthly reports. They show you what has happened so far this month. If you have a periodic capability and want something more frequently, you could drop down to daily, drop down to weekly, whatever you want in there. This tends to be the most interesting one. Now, every organization, every fundraising organization that I've been involved with always has direct mail. Whether you have radio and TV and those things or not, you do have direct mail. So direct mail report is a key report. Now, first of all, notice a basic difference between this report and the others. This is a cumulative direct mail report. Okay. Cumulative means from the time you dropped the letter in the mail until now what has come in. On the previous report, that motivation report, we could see for each of the motivations what came in this month. But this shows what has come in since the time it was dropped. So we have in this report not all the data as we had in the others, but just the direct mail stuff. Again, a description and the code itself. Now let's see what the parts are. The cumulative donation amount, how much has been donated because of that letter so far. The total number of responses and your average gift. Now that, of course, is just flowing through your donor system. There's two bits of information you have to input outside the donor system. First is the cumulative cost amount. Now we heard some interesting discussion yesterday as to what goes into the cost. And when those of us in DP provide a tool, I tend not to get into an argument there. Okay. Let the people who are using it decide what cost they're going to put into it. There's also the number of mail. Of course, when your computer runs out of mailing lists, it tells you how many. But it's running out lots of mailing lists, so you, those that you want, you enter those number back in here. Then the computer determines the gain, which is just the donations minus the cost, and it computes two interesting values for you. There's a percent response, which is always interesting, and there's the one we've heard a lot about this week, which is the dollar return per dollar cost. And the last thing is, when did you drop this mailing? Well, those tend to be the basic things that you're looking at in a direct mail report. And what you do is you make sure that your direct mail people get this report on a timely basis and ask them what they learned from it. Now, if you've got people who are really pushing hard, that's fine. But a lot of times in small organizations, you will honestly find some reluctance, even on the part of the people who write the letters, to take a look at a report like this. So as a DP person in a small organization, not only to give him the report, but ask him what he learned from it. For example, looking at these various February mailings, we see a range of return. Here's one in which there was $22 back for each dollar spent. Something was fairly right there. It may have been in the type thing that was mailed out. It may have just been in the list that you selected. Some of the others didn't do so good. Here's some down here in which there was just 50 cents for each dollar spent. Now, these were just dropped on the first of the month, and it's the end of the month, so they are, hopefully, they're going to return some more. There's awfully good information then that can be found in this kind of report. Yes? In the motivation code that you use here, that will tell the person who is interested in the list whatever he wants to know. As I said, I would tend to make the description more descriptive. I would tell something. There's two basic things. There's the kit that you send out, and there's the list to whom you send it. So I like to include those things in the description. Okay, those are the basic reports, and that's all the reports I plan to show you. Now I want to do one other thing, which is a kind of a quick review. We've talked about a number of elements that can't exist in a donor system. Let me suggest to you that one of the most important things that you'll end up doing when you design a donor system is to develop a user's guide for it. Without a user's guide, if you disappear, then somebody's going to hurt. So do something with a user's guide. Here's just a quick example. And I'm not going to go through all the parts, but people will need to know how to start the system, depending upon your hardware, how to start the hardware and how to start the software. Then how to inquire and enter data through your CRT. I mean, you have a lot of different functions you want to do. Yeah, you have to find names by whatever method you have of finding those names. Adding new names, doing address changes. In this particular case, adding messages, adding pledges, adding special lists, deleting names, making adjustments, making new dollar entries, displaying the data, doing your batch check, all the things that at normal data entry time you'd want to do when you have a name that you're dealing with. Hard copy, both inquiries and lists, then alphabetic lists, numeric lists, potential duplicate lists, obviously zip code lists, all these kinds of things. This is part of your donor system. You have all your donor accounting and receipting functions, and the different ones there, the different reports that you can get out from it, all the things that are standard, the optional kinds of things in your cycle. Then you get into your direct mail contact functions. And here again, you need lots of explanation on how to use lots of different functions. And these are all the things we had described the other day. You have computer letter capability within your system. Then you need to tell people how to make those computer letter bodies. You build a body in one case, and then you select the names another time, and you combine the variables with the body. How to do those things. How does your management information system work? How do you handle the files? How do you produce your standard reports and the other kind of special reports that may exist in your system? Then you've got these auxiliary things that we described. If you have a code... I'm not getting everything in, am I? Oh, well. Your code file, your backup and recovery capability, as we mentioned, one of the key things. Sometimes there are some things that you will develop in the course of building your system that may not be a thing people use a lot, but you might as well make it easy, like how to list, copy, and erase your miscellaneous files. Purge files, end-of-year systems. What you're seeing is kind of a review of the parts that go into a basic donor system. Mass changes, which we discussed as a real good thing. Some miscellaneous functions, your CRT screens. You might want to set up a set of name and address rules. You might even want to offer a style to your people. Output examples are handy to have, and other kind of functions. So this then is basically the way I conceive a donor system. And I've got a couple minutes, about three, I think, that I can answer questions. No questions? Yes. A couple of reasons. Number one, with the kind of work that we were doing, which we started in 75, there were not very many systems that had good file access methods. We wanted an ISAM file. GE had one, and Data General had one. Also, in 75, we were tending to push business use of computers. Not a lot of folks were doing a lot of things except Basic 4 at that particular time. Of the four major mini-computer organizations, DEC, Data General, Hewlett-Packard, and General Automation, one was near us. One was in Southern California where we were, and we had, therefore, access to the developers of the software, and that was very handy. And there were some other reasons. Any other questions? Thank you. You've been a good audience, and I've really enjoyed it.
Okay, maybe as that's getting handed out, I'll do just a word of introduction. Hain has kind of set the basis for us, I think, in setting some of the basic concepts of management reporting. As you know, we've talked a lot about fundraising and how that ties into the computer, and we kind of plan to have several of these sessions, at least towards the end, to perhaps come back a little bit to the question of how do we evaluate how the programs are doing? And I think you can already begin to see the flavor of that. As Hayne alluded to, certainly in our own system, and I suspect in Navigators and Campus Crusades, we all tend to tie very heavily to the use of a motivation code and a designation code in every financial gift. And with that as a basis, then you can massage these various different ways. And what we'd like to do is Larry Stevenson from the Navigators is going to spend perhaps 15 minutes and run you through their reports, which is in this handout you see, which we appreciate very much. So that'll give you something you can take with you as kind of further idea and thought generation and stimulation. I will go through some of the ones that World Vision has. Campus Crusade and World Vision's systems basically came from the same derivation, so there's not much difference. Eric will make a few follow-on comments, and then we'd like to leave at least a good 15 minutes or so for questions at the end. And perhaps those of you, such as Hayne or others, who have developed management reports might comment on any different techniques or ideas you're using, or any questions that this generates we'll get into. So I think why don't we get started, and I'll have Larry take you through the Navigators management reporting system. Larry Stevenson.
Thank you. Okay, if you'll open up to the front page, this is the bulk of the reports that we're using for the new fundraising system that we're just now implementing. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten much of a feedback as far as the users' thoughts on the reports, except what we got to in the development stage. The first report we have here is the statistics report. This is a general report, is actually part of the fundraising system, but it's been distributed to most of the managers in the Navigators. It's on the whole master file. Starting from the right up at the top, we have our drop codes, what we call drop codes. That's anybody who should not be on the file active. I don't know how else you might describe it, either insufficient address, cross-references, deceased, or they've requested that they do not want to be in our file anymore. In the middle, we have inactive names. Usually that's 0 or 1 or something like this, because we usually run this report immediately after the purge of our master file each month. Additional special names, that's special names used for accounting purposes, offices, things like that. Then our active names, and we break our names down into 5 different groups, organization, men and women, couples, and individuals. We can't tell which they are. Then the report, the whole rest of the report is broken out into, in essence, 3 different categories. We ask, are they active in NAVPRESS? That's the first 2 columns. In other words, first column is, are they active this year in NAVPRESS? Second column is, have they been active in NAVPRESS in the last 2 years? That's what we define as active. Next 2 columns is the receding, same type of thing. Have they been active this year in receding, or have they been active in the last 2 years? If they do not fit into either one of those columns, and they may fit into both of those columns, they are then placed into another column. If they have not been active in either of these 2 areas, have they been added in the last 2 years, or have they had any sort of activity on our master file, such as changing addresses, taking up, starting the daily walk, something like this? And then we have a grand totals out here. Now, the totals across will not add up to the grand totals, because someone can be listed both in NAVPRESS and in receding, but they're only counted once over in our grand totals column. This top section is just a little thing trying to get a relationship between the activity in NAVPRESS and the activity in receding, and who's only active in one or the other. Okay, next we have source. We break out all our mailing lists by source. How did they originally get on our master file? Via banquet or conference, whatever. Okay, next thing we have are relationship types. These are strictly used by NAVPRESS right now. They were sort of developed for everybody, but NAVPRESS is the only one that's really been using them. It helps them keep track of who they're actually dealing with. Our special personnel is mostly just breaking out staff. Our last group here on this first page are other codes, special codes of interest, such as financial appeal exempt. How many people do we have in that category, or how many people are advertising exempt? How many can we not mail to? Okay, flip over to the second page. It's the same sort of format, with the exception it's broken out by states and then regions below it. We also have, in addition to this report, another report which lists a similar breakout only by countries. Okay, flipping on over to the next thing. Next report is the donor analysis report for FUR010. Okay, this is run on the entire master file again. Let's start from the right again. The right-hand column is all non-donors. They have not given a gift in the last 30 months. Next column is all people who have given a gift to the navigators in the last 30 months. However, they have not given to direct mail. Third category is, have they given to direct mail in the last 30 months? We sort of use this as a framework for several other of our reports, because when we send out a mailing, we identify the person with their status right when the mailing is sent out. In other words, if they generate a label for me, they would probably list me as a donor, you know, two. I'm a donor and it's been 2 months since I've given. Or someone else, they might list as a direct mail five. In other words, which is an M5, which means they have given direct mail in the last 5 months. And then we use these in other reports to see how the donors are moving. Are donors converting to direct mail donors? Are we converting non-donors to direct mail donors? And this also gives the financial people a chance to see what sort of category. In other words, is the most likely person to convert from non-donor to direct mail donor those who have not given for 10 months, or those who have recently, who have just been added to the file, or those who have been on the file like 10 months. Okay, the next report is a real simple report, selected HIA report, INFER 001. This is just simply a way that fundraising can quickly get an idea of how much money came into a selected HIA, headquarters income account. It's a, I don't know what other people might call it, it's just an account where we keep track of the money that's coming in. And this gives fundraising a chance to look at how much money came into account during a specific time period. They can set up any time period they want to. It's listed right there underneath the report title. Next report, next page, I hope. Donor analysis breakdown by type of income. Okay, this again is a report that you can use according to date. You can make it date sensitive to keep track of a specific time period, and also it is used by a specific group. You can select off a specific group off the master file or using the donor file. You notice my title, selected group. It's very imaginative. Anyway, what we try to do is try to keep track of, you know, like set for a banquet or something, we can go in and see what type of giving these people give to and what type of gifts, how large the gifts are, such as top line direct mail. In this particular group, we have 68 donors who gave 143 gifts with an average gift of $27, a total of almost $4,000. And then it gives the ranges over here. 41 of them gave $1 to $9, 59 of them gave $10 to $24, etc. And then down on the bottom is a sort of a summary of this, saying how many of these people gave to how many different accounts. In other words, how many people are interested in more than one type of thing. We tend to find out that sometimes people will get interested in like U.S. staff. Or maybe they don't get interested in people, but a building turns them on, and you can keep track of this. Okay, donor analysis, two-year quarterly report, FUR 50. This is simply a summary report. It's used for a selected group of people. to just show what their giving has been over the last 2 years. This, again, can be used for like a banquet or something. Okay, next report, pledge status report. Sorry I'm going through these fast, but a lot of reports to cover in 15 minutes. Pledge status report, this is can be used on any mailing where you have a pledge, any banquet, anything where you have a pledge. There's two reports generated. This is the summary report. There's also a report generated which actually gives the individual statistics on individual people, how much they have actually given. And we can use this to keep track of people, to write people when they've fallen behind on their pledge, things like this. Okay, the top figure is how much has been pledged, and theoretically we should be getting in each month from this, let's say, banquet. Okay, the next thing we can keep track of, we're keeping track of, is the one-time gifts. Typically, we give people the option of giving either monthly for a year or one time, and it's due within a year. Okay, then the next figure is the total amount, the total of all the monthly pledges for that one-year period or whatever period it happens to be, and the one-time gifts given together. And then you get into the real interesting statistics. How much have they given so far since the banquet? And how much do they have left to give as a group? Then we also keep track of the total number of pledges that were made, how many has been completed at present, and how many still has to be completed. And then we have another little report here which lists how much towards a pledge has a person completed. In this case, 57 people have not given to their pledge yet, and 7 people have less than 25% of their pledge completed, and then 100% have 50 people have given all of their pledge. Your next report should be direct mail returns analysis, cash gifts. I'm falling behind here. Okay, this should be furrow 12. Just below that should be 1847. A mailing is the title of it. We also have a similar report to this entitled cash gifts. I mean pledge gifts instead of cash gifts. This report lists, starting from the left, the number of gifts given on a particular day. We're going here by date here. And each day we report how many gifts were given, the total amount of cash received that day from those gifts, that the average of those gifts, and the total pieces to date, which is an accumulative figure, and then the total amount to date, which again is a accumulative figure as you go down the report. Also over here, we list what range of giving did they give, $1 to $9, $10 to $24, up to $500 or more dollars. This is set up for a 90-day period. It takes sets up the first day that we receive a gift and sets up a 90-day period for that. And then at the bottom of the report on the second page, we have the average donation for this mailing, the number of total pieces we got in, the total amount given, and then a total figure for our ranges. We also have a percentage of response, how many people responded as compared to how many people were sent out. And also another item which you can quickly see is not functioning properly, how many pledges were received with cash gifts. In other words, how many people in essence responded twice. Okay, you can skip the next two pages because that's the same report only on a different mailing. Okay, that should end you up at the direct mail analysis report. And over on the right side, you have a FER 002. Okay, what this does is, this is similar to what I was talking about earlier on that donor aging report. Here we have broken out the report. There's actually three pages to this report. The first page is the direct mail report, direct mail aging, those people who were direct mail when we sent out a mailing. They were coded as being direct mail. Next page is those who were coded as being donor. Third page is those who were coded as being non-donor. But I'm going to go back to the first page. Okay. I'll just follow a line across here showing you what we have. Okay, the first column is the age. In other words, when the mailing was sent out, what were they classified as? Okay, the first one would be a M0 or direct mail 0. Let's go down to the next one, direct mail 1. Nope, let's go down to the next one, direct mail 2. Okay. The first figure is how many labels or how many people did we actually mail to that were coded as giving to a direct mail just 2 months prior. Next one is how many of those people did respond, which would be 144. The response percentage, in other words, how many of those people responded, is just those two figures. Okay, the amount of cash received is in the fifth column. The sixth column, cash gifts received. This figure theoretically should be the same as the returns over there, but sometimes it's higher. Someone has sent back something the second time. They've received their received their receipt for this direct mail, and then they sent it back in, specifying they want it to go to the same project. Okay, the next column we have amount pledged at due date, and in this case the mailing had nothing to do, didn't have a pledge with it, so that wasn't used. And the number of people who responded with pledges is the next column. Then the total amount of cash and pledges, and then what did it cost to send to that group? That's strictly how many people we sent to and how much it cost to send the mailing multiplied together. And then what's our cost-income ratio for that particular group? And this is done for all 90 groups here. We can also, by the way, break this down in such a way. We can break this into 8 control groups, and then we can define these people within those control groups also. So it gives us a little extra flexibility as specifying certain people. Like we could specify, a specific control group for all those people who normally give $500 or more, something like that, and try to see how they do. I have run out of time pretty much. Let me hit these last two reports real quick. The next report will be direct mail analysis final report. It's FUR023. This is strictly a summary of these other reports. How did we do on this mailing? This is run after we've decided that most of the results have come in. We'll then run this report, and it's just a summary of it. The two unique items, I think, to this report is donor conversion. How many people did we convert from a donor to a direct mail donor? In this case, it's 6. And how many people did we convert from a non-donor status to a direct mail status? Okay, the next report we have is donor report for 029. It should say total page on it right below, right next to for 029. This is another thing you can use when you're deciding to have a banquet and you want to see whether you really think it's profitable to go into this area to have a banquet. It has similar totals to a couple other reports we've generated. Where is their giving at? In other words, direct mail or is it where needed most, whatever. And also their quarterly figures, and you can do this for a specific area. Okay, next report has been referred to as our CIA report. It's next page. It's also listed as the donor report, but does not have total page on it. This keeps track of an individual donor, what he's giving to individually, and This first page also has two pledges listed on it and how he's doing on this. Let's see, flip over, flip over to the third to the last page. You also have a listing here where you can keep track of the last six direct mail gifts. Who has he been giving to the last six times? We can keep track of five pledges on there. After that, they start getting bounced off. Another feature which we've added later down here, at the bottom of this report, we have name and address. We put that down there word processing can see it rather readily because the address up at the top is sort of hidden within everything else. And below it, we also list last gift. And this is for personalized word processing where we can respond saying, thank you for your last gift on, in this case, August 23rd of $25. Then at the very last page is strictly the donor report like you saw before, except it's for just this specific group. Every time we generate this group a donor report for a specific group, we also generate this donor page. Sometimes it's used, sometimes it's not, depending on the situation. And I think that'll about do it. 25 minutes, that's pretty good.
Thank you very much, Larry. I think we'll go right into the next part, and we'll kind of save any questions at this point. Jim, help me. I'll go through mine rather quickly. As I say, there's probably some points in your time when you feel rather inadequate after seeing that whole barrage of reports. This may be a comedown. The ones I'll be showing you focus a little more back into the area that I think Hain was addressing, by motivation and designation code, and we'll focus back that way a little more. I think we'll flip through this rather rapidly so we can make sure we have enough time. One comment, perhaps, just before we get into more detail on it, or a couple. We redesigned our motivation and designation codes with our new system, which was a fairly major undertaking because people get very used to codes, and if they've been using them for 10 years and you want to redesign them, you're sure to create mass confusion, which we have done at World Vision. People are just now beginning to come out of that a little bit, but one of the key things we tried to do is put some intelligence into the codes. Our motivation code is a six-position code. Our designations are four characters. We copied a lot of the motivational things from the past system. We did not make a lot of changes. We tried to put more intelligence into it. In our designation side, we specifically put more intelligence. For example, we have six basic ministries, that's what we call them. The first digit of our designation code, 1 through 6, tells us which ministry it is. And then the second position may tell you something else, and third position may give you a geographic breakdown. So if you're just getting into this area, I would suggest you give some thought to trying to put some intelligence into it. I think it'll have some value for you. Maybe one further comment. We have sort of a separate file, I think, probably surmised from some of the things that navigators are doing. A lot of their reports that they just went through, which are extremely valuable, are kind of massaging the entire database and breaking out all the different account characteristics and all kinds of really neat statistics. The ones I'm going to show you are coming off, in our case, a more summary totals file by each motivation and designation code. In our daily update, we take each posting record, and it has a motivation and designation, and we update those particular buckets. And we keep the number of gifts, the number of new names, the number of new pledges, the number of dollars, those kinds of things for every single motivation and designation code. And then that becomes the basis for the reports which we'll go through. So why don't we skip through these first two real quick? They were just kind of a flow and get to the first report, Jim. Maybe go ahead and go on to the next one. Hain made a good comment, which we have found to be true over and over. He suggested keep the number of formats few and try and keep them standard. And I'll allude to this as we go through. For the most part, we try and have the same format for a motivational report and a designation report. However, we thought we were going to get kind of clever with our new system, and as we go through here, you'll see some where we did a different arrangement. Because we only have six ministries, it was easy to kind of list the six ministries across the top of the page and run columnar totals down below. However, we have at least 11 motivational programs, and there wasn't really the room to run the 11 motivational programs that way, so we ran the 11 down the side of the page. And we are still getting comments. Just before Al and I left, we had a nice little meeting with a memo from our executive vice president asking us again, why can't we make those reports look the same? So we are still wrestling with that, so I would encourage you to spend time in that. It's probably been a sort of an Achilles heel for us. As much as we tried to design effective reports, the users still have their particular needs and their particular desires for reading them, so I'll reference that. This first report going through is basically similar to the one that Haynes just showed. It's a detailed recap. We break it out for each of our 11 motivational programs. I happen to also just pick a direct mail page here, which is one of 11. It's a detailed recap of each motivation code, of various criteria, dollars returned, number of mailed, and that sort of thing. We have a variation on that if you want to flip to the next one, where we sum up by what we call an activity code. And we get into some semantics even within our own organization. There's still some confusion about some of the terms we use. But I sort of equate it to perhaps a cost center. For example, a particular direct mailing piece will likely have one activity code, although Marty may break it into 25 or 30 test groups and therefore have 25 or 30 motivation codes. And the same is true of our monthly magazine. And this recaps more by that cost center kind of thing. So it's a little more summarized version when somebody says, how did the February appeal do? Or how did the February magazine do? Rather than having to add up 25 motivation codes, this is a more summarized format. So basically the same kind of thing. Here's an illustration of what I was talking about, a format where we ran the motivational things down the side because we didn't think they'd fit across the top too readily. We have our 11 programs running down the side. One of the things we did try to do, which was a little, I think, enhancement over the previous thing, we tried to provide previous period comparisons. That was one thing in particular that our executive vice president wanted. And so we try and show, for example, the month of September, a total in 1977 and a total in 1976 to try and give you some previous period kinds of comparison. It depends on the kind of needs of the particular financial and management people, but a number of ours have expressed a real interest in that kind of previous period kind of comparison. Okay. Now here's what I was referring to. This is the equivalent designation one, which we ran across the top, since the our six ministries, child care, emergency aid, that sort of thing fit across the top. Basically showing you the exact same kind of data, month this year, month last year. But I think you can visually see the difference in maybe visual impact of that report. And in terms of lessons passed on, that's probably one thing we underestimated, that people don't grasp that as readily as maybe we thought they would. That, well, hey, this is the same report. One's just this way and one is this way. You know, it's no problem in reading the two side by side. But we still find a number of our people that kind of scratch their heads when they look at the two versions. So I think Hain was right on with the few formats and keep them as similar as you can. This is just a further variation again, and some of these are basically variations on just the same theme. This one is a motivation recap detail again with some year-to-date summaries. Now, whereas some of the ones were giving you previous months or previous periods, this is giving you grand detail with totals. And then this is the equivalent thing on designations again. Now here, if you notice under the designation code column, we did put some subtotaling breaks, and this was a carryover from the previous system, but this is one area where perhaps you could take advantage of some intelligence in your codes. For example, I believe we break on every two digits, and we probably still have not designed the proper amount of intelligence there to make those subtotals as meaningful as they could be or should be. But by using proper intelligence in those codes, you can get some excellent subtotaling kinds of capabilities. Somebody says, well, I want to see all the such and such with such and such. You say, well, that's every designation code that starts with a 3 in the first position and 1 through 5 in the second position. And you can do some nice subtotaling without having to massage tons of detail. This is basically a variation on the previous theme, although weekly. And this gives you some week-by-week kinds of breakout. And once again, the attempt there to make previous period comparisons. These two weeklies, which I'll show you, were particularly requested by our executive vice president again. He does not want to see a lot of these reports, but he wants to see some kind of capsule summaries that he can quickly look at trends. And he's very interested in, you know, okay, by program, how are we doing this week, this year, last year, this month, this year, last year? And, you know, as much detail as you can provide, he only wants to see those quick kinds of things. So this was an attempt to do that. Once again, however, the two different formats, one across top, one across bottom. And that's the one that we just got a memo again on saying, can't we get those things consolidated? So I suspect I will be working on that. And by the next conference, if not much, much sooner, we'll have probably more standardized reports. But okay, next. Last one here is just a recap, particularly for our, we have five geographic area offices, and this is a report to break out some summary totals for them. We provide one for each state, the top category, by summing on just the first character of our motivation code, that gives our 11 motivation program types. And then we gave them a choice of, I don't know, somewhere like 12 or 15 detail codes of their choice down the bottom. So that bottom group. And then kind of running through the report in the middle is just some capsule summaries of names and pledges and things that we have based in each state. Okay. Maybe a couple more comments of things we tried to do in relation to just that specific reporting system. One of the things, we have not really tapped it much yet, since we've just kind of gotten over the initial implementation and learning curve, we have built a select capability into those management reporting programs. If you will, those formats you saw are basically just that. We can specify a time range that we'd like to report out. For example, if I want to, one of those was a 656, which is a detailed motivation report. Now, I may want to see only this past month. I may want to see 12 months. I might want to see 18 months. Normally, it comes out for all 11 program types. I may only want to see it for direct mail, or I may only want to see it for space ads. We have not started doing too much of that yet, but we have further capability. I believe for any given report, on initial run, we can put in up to like 6 parameters. So I could select 6 unique motivation codes and get that exact same report out for just 6 codes. Or somebody may say, I want to see that report only for television. Well, maybe television is all our codes starting with T. However, we have a pledge series, and television pledge money is in another category starting with P. So we could run that report showing the P's and the T's for television and just get a television report out. So that's one thing that we've built into it. We have not tapped it too much yet, but I suspect we'll begin to do a lot more of that. So in this kind of reporting, that might be a thing you might want to look at. You're saying, okay, I've got these half dozen basic formats, but I can select a whole kinds of ranges of things to go into it. One other feature we've built in that we've just sort of getting into, because it's updated each night and it's current, as was alluded to, I believe, in Dick's presentation, we plan to offer an online inquiry capability. We have a very basic one right now where you can key in either a code or a range of codes and basically get the contents of our file out. So people like Marty, perhaps, who are wanting to rapidly track.